everyone. Welcome to Cellular Healing TV. I'm Ashley Smith. Let's talk about hormones. What they are, how do they influence our health, and how do they change as we age? Dr. Pompa will be addressing all of the topics that are affecting many of you. His guest today is OBGYN Dr. Anna Kabeca, and she'll give us the lowdown on weight loss resistance, erratic emotions, low libido, and hot flashes. Just a bit more about Dr. Anna. Dr. Anna Kabeca is a triple board certified Emory University trained physician and hormone expert who was diagnosed with early menopause at age 38. Devastated, she set out on a personal wellness journey to reverse her menopause side effects, which resulted in her delivery of a healthy baby girl at the age of 41. After experiencing her own health successes, Dr. Kabeca began counseling others, ultimately changing the lives of thousands of women across the globe. Her new book, The Hormone Fix, is empowering and transforming women, and she has programs which help women of all ages become their best selves again. You can discover more about Anna Kabeca at drannakabeca.com, and you could read more about her in our show notes. Practitioners who are listening, please be sure to check out HCF's Live It to Lead It seminar in Nashville, where we'll have a lineup of top health experts who will explore the latest research and most effective strategies in the field of cellular healing. Please go to hcfevents.com for more information. You can use the code CHTV to take $150 off your weekend pass. And to the rest of our CHTV audience, we have some exciting news. We've opened up one day of this conference to the public. Please go to events.drpompa.com if you'd like to attend and hear amazing speakers who will leave you feeling inspired and ready to take action. We hope to see you there. All right, so let's get started and welcome Dr. Pompa and Dr. Anna Kabeca to the show. This is Cellular Healing TV.
Well, welcome to Cell TV, Dr. Anna. This is a really sexy topic, I have to say. So glad you're here to get these questions answered that I've been flooded with about perimenopause, menopause, sex drive, libido, how do I save my relationship, my marriage, all the topics no one wants to talk about. But we're going to talk about it today because we've had such an influx of interest in this topic. Truthfully, you know, it's like, and I think it's one of those things that people really want to hear about, but nobody wants to talk about, except for you.
Exactly. I am happy to talk about it, but you're absolutely right. It's that unspoken conversation. So I try to get, you know, like I let people know I'm their girlfriend doctor, right? Like you can talk to me about anything and let's have a conversation about it. There is nothing off limits here. Shamelessly, good. Guiltlessly, let's have a conversation.
This sounds fun. I'm glad my wife's not in earshot because she'd be end up running in here, you know, as I throw under the bus a few times. No, actually, her hormones have really transformed. Yeah, maybe that offers you, I'll offer people hope right there because my wife was a hormonal disaster, honestly. And like her mother, I have to say, well, not that bad. But she would actually chime in right there. Not that bad. But her mother hormonally ended up with breast cancer. 10 years later, uterine cancer, 2 years later, died. So, I mean, obviously not that bad. But I always say my wife was heading down that road, frankly. So.
Oh, my gosh. And that's one of the big things that bring fear into this topic, of aging. Because, it's something I saw in my practice, too. You know, I saw that early symptoms of fibrocystic breast, irregular periods, mood swings, all the hormone imbalance symptoms, right? And then the diagnosis of breast cancer, and then the uterine cancer and hysterectomy, and then what's next, colon cancer, what's next versus like the breasts are innocent bystanders, the uterus an innocent bystander of the underlying hormonal imbalances that are going on.
You know, I just spent a few days down at Hope for Cancer in Mexico, one of the top alternative cancer clinics. Tony Jimenez will be at my next seminar, folks. If you're, by the way, this will be the first time the public actually gets to come or even join us live stream for a whole day of the seminar. So maybe my team can put that link in here. But Tony Jimenez is speaking. And, I was able to spend a day with a lot of breast cancer ladies. You know, it's the same story. Their story, my wife was there, so their story started a lot like my wife's, you know, I mean, just the typical symptoms, right? I mean, that people aren't looking at it as cancer necessarily, but, you know, where does it end? It can progress progress into much more serious problems, as what happened to these women that we were speaking to in the clinic and could have happened to my wife. You know, but I'll tell you, you know, my wife went through cellular detox. You know, she did a lot of stuff, but it took time. I mean, there were some crazies in there. I'm telling you, it was tough. You know, I mean, and, you know, God forbid, we told her what's going on, you know, right around this week, you know, she transformed and me and the kids were looking at each other and we weren't allowed to speak about it. So things got really hard.
Well, let's
and
talk
forget about sex. There was no sex, by the way.
Right. Right. And she's not alone, right? Let's talk about the real person.
With one thing though. Here's the hope part, right? She's not that person anymore. And if I didn't throw that in, she would literally, I'd have to have a whole show of me just telling
her. There'd be no more sex again.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But I mean, you know, she's in her 50s as I am. And I'll tell you, you know, I have trouble keeping up with her. I mean, she has amazing sex drive now. She has, you know, she's balanced. We don't deal with that mom for that week of the month anymore. And a lot of other things are absolutely normal, like the weird, bizarre stuff. So there's the hope. You know, however, you're going to give us amazing tips and tricks that I wish I had, honestly, going through that period of time, you know, getting her where she is. But this is your deal. So I want you to start actually with your story, because I could easily just, you're so like, I can't wait to tell them this. But start with your story, because I believe our story, you know, is really what makes us the expert, honestly, yeah. Not our years of study. Tell us about that.
Right. And I wouldn't be an expert in this area if it wasn't for my story. You're absolutely right. And you know, even as a Emory University trained gynecologist and obstetrician, at age 38, I was diagnosed with premature menopause, early ovarian failure, early menopause, and infertility. Permanent and irreversible infertility was my diagnosis. I was 38 years old. This was devastating news upon devastation, because our family went through a traumatic situation. And in fact, we lost our son in a traumatic accident, and he was only 18 months old in 3 days. And so that turmoil brought us into a tremendous amount of grief and despair and physiologic havoc, right? Just my physiology changed.
Yes.
And we don't talk so much about stress causing menopause, but I've seen it over and over again that I have the eyes to see.
And by the way, it could be physical, chemical, or emotional. I've had women get in car accidents and boom, it triggers, into menopause. Emotional traumas, as you just mentioned, in chemical exposures and traumas, moldy, all of it, the body doesn't know the difference and can land you what you're saying.
Yeah. Perceived and real.
The body doesn't know the difference.
Mm-mm. Not at all. And so that led me on a journey, you know, this, I call it my healing journey around the world, to learn that everywhere you go, there you are. You know what I went around the world to learn that everywhere you go, there you are. And so that's the place that I teach from, no matter what circumstances you are in. And let me tell you, trauma didn't stop there. It was the other. From there on. And it was that sense of, okay, now wherever you go, there you are. And despite that, we can be the eye of the storm and the ocean, not the waves, right? So fixing our internal physiology so that we can experience joy and peace and calm and love and connection, despite what's going on around us. That's the transformation that I encourage and help and hopefully inspire hope in women to make, and men throughout their life despite what they're facing. So my journey was that irreversible infertility at 38 amongst depression, amongst, you can imagine, I didn't want to open my eyes in the morning. I it hurt. I had the physical aches too. It hurt to put my feet on the floor. My feet actually hurt to touch the floor. And I was OBGYN. I ran two practices, a medical spa. I mean, I hit the floor running nonstop, would sometimes be at the hospital 3 days in a row. It didn't have a complaint, right? Well, all that, I would say God had his hand in teaching me and making me humble, that's for sure. But, you know, I learned to use natural remedies. When my doctor bag was exhausted, I didn't have anything else in it. I had to find the answers.
Yeah, that's interesting, you coming from that side, because that the patient comes from, after they go through all the meds, the doctor thing, then they end up looking for this. But you were on the end of, well, your doctor bag being empty. And now, okay, there's got to be something else.
Yeah. And so lo and behold, you know, with functional medicine, which I had started learning in 2004, 2006, I was diagnosed early menopause, completely infertile, reversed menopause, and good news, became pregnant and delivered a beautiful, healthy baby. I was 41 years old when I conceived her. So that was against all odds. We don't talk about reversing menopause once you're diagnosed with it. Very, very rare, right? Especially at age 38. So that was my story. And I reversed menopause till age 48, when I experienced many of the symptoms that my clients experienced. One of them, one of the most aggravating one, being when a patient would come in and tell me, I'll be honest about this, patients would come in and say, "Dr. Anna, I'm gaining 5, 10, 20 pounds and I'm not doing anything different." And I'd be like, "Really, you're not?" You know, kind of that skeptical. Surely you're doing some, you know, you're eating an extra helping, you're not exercising, something. Well, lo and behold, I say, God makes me humble. I gained 5, 10, 20 pounds, basically, I mean, so fast, and I wasn't doing anything different. Do you hear that too?
And something I always say is hormone or weight loss resistance, that is not a food problem as much as a hormone problem, by the way. So you and I resonate on that. That's exactly what was happening to you.
Absolutely. Metabolic resistant, metabolic stall, total hibernation. But beyond that, something that, you know, worried me more even than the weight gain, although, I mean, I'd been over 240 pounds, lost 80 pounds and kept them off for nearly a decade and had tremendous hair loss back to the, you know, near crown of my head. Wow. Just tremendous, tremendous hair loss, stress-related hair loss, not thyroid-related hair loss. Mm. And I learned about that too. And that was devastating. And I didn't want any of that to come back. So I was desperate for answers at that point. But besides that, it was the brain fog, the lack of clarity, you know, I mean, lack of focus that was really, you know, debilitating from a financial perspective, from a relationship perspective, you know, from a business perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of threw me. And so what I needed to do, and that's what I write about in my book, the steps that we need to take to really restore that balance. And I call it the keto green way. I learned that we needed to get our body into ketosis through intermittent fasting, some healthy fats, you know, but lots of alkalinizing plant-based foods, greens, lots of low carbohydrate greens, and check. And you probably do this too. I don't know if you tell your patients to check your urinary pH. Let's get that pH alkaline as a marker for health. Do you have your clients do that?
You know, I really don't, because I know when they're on this particular diet, you know, it's like typically, you know, we're going to see the normal fluctuations in acid and alkalinity. But you know, what you're saying is right on the money. I mean, I think that when people even think of ketosis, they're often putting this massive emphasis on the fat. And I always remind people, well, first of all, let's look at what actually puts you in ketosis. It's not eating more fat. It's eating low carb, right? And again, it can be low carb with really an emphasis on a lot of the greens. Matter of fact, we've put people in keto on vegetarian vegan diets, for goodness sakes, right? So oftentimes the point is oftentimes the greens are the you know, the missing part. So it's obviously a part of your whole theme.
Well, and it's so important for detoxification, for cellular health and healing, right? We need those micronutrients. We need the micronutrients so much to support detoxification, especially when it comes to our liver and our hormones.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. So there's your book. It's behind you. And you go through a lot of that in the book. Now, is the book out yet? Where can they get it?
It is out now and it is available anywhere books are sold, books are sold. And we have a book bonus page. So I believe you have that link for that. Okay, so we have some extra supplementary material that just helps support readers, but it's 400 pages, good content, 10-day keto green detox, plus 21 days of extra meals. That's one part of it. The rest is the lifestyle component to help manage stress, to help manage our hormones and what we need to do to optimize our hormonal balance. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big part. I think that's where people really need a lot of help, and your book brings that. You know, talk about why ketones could be beneficial to this, right? I mean, we've talked a lot about ketosis. We've talked a lot about the benefits of ketones. But I don't know if we've talked about it from the benefits of benefiting your hormones. So talk about that.
Yeah. So as a gynecologist, I often say, you know, I would love to say it's all about estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, even DHEA, right? But reality is, like, those are the students in the classroom. Say they're the college students in the classroom, right? They're pretty awesome and they've got their own missions, but the professors are insulin and cortisol. And the dean is oxytocin. So like those insulin, cortisol, and oxytocin are the major hormones. So what I learned, again, I want to get to the cellular issue, right? I want to make the smallest improvements that have the biggest results. So I keep wanting to get to those underlying issues that are causing all this imbalances, the hot flashes, the swings, the night sweats. And I really boiled it down to those three hormones, oxytocin, insulin, and cortisol. So the many women suffer from debilitating hot flashes, not just for 1 to 2 years, but often for even over a decade. I've had clients talk to me about this. And one of the unspoken reasons for hot flashes is insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. So ketosis, and we get there in my program through intermittent fasting and through lower carbs, but the carbs we choose are all those great alkalinizers and micronutrient-rich carbs. And I have clients test, not guess, because everyone's a little different in what their body needs. So I have them just check simply.
It's a motivator for them too. So
totally. And it gives them clues, what's working, what's not working, because it's, again, not just about what we eat. I tell clients, if you had this amazing, great keto green meal and you were stressed and angry at the dinner table, you're acidic. But if you had this amazing keto green meal and even splurged with a glass of wine, but with friends and we're laughing and having fun, you're alkaline. Uh-huh. So yeah. Powerful, powerful diagnostic tool, powerful clue of discerning what works for you and what works against you. So getting into ketosis helps in so many ways, certainly with weight management, at least to help with the weight loss resistance. Certainly that's a aspect once we reestablish some metabolic flexibility and detox, right? Because if we're not detoxing well, we're going to hold on to the fat no matter what we're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even as a protective mechanism. But, you know, so the insulin, I mean, we know that insulin is a fat storing hormone, right? So if you're insulin resistant, you're having, you know, trouble with insulin, I don't care what you do, your body's going to be holding on to fat. And creating other problems too. I mean, you know, it'll start stuffing the glucose in other areas of the body and other organs of the body. You end up with fatty pancreas. It makes everything worse. And fatty liver, that makes everything worse. You know, we've interviewed Jason Fung on here, and he talks about that, is that insulin problem. Your body starts having, it's so damaging the glucose that it'll just start stuffing in other places and makes everything worse.
Yeah, 100%. And getting into ketosis through intermittent fasting, stopping snacking, you know, we see insulin sensitivity improve. We see the hemoglobin A1C significantly decline, and that's what we want to see. And so insulin sensitivity is key.
Yeah. And like I said, the HbA1c is a good indicator long-term of what your glucose and insulin are doing. Okay. So that's part of it. Now, I would say the cortisol we know is linked to stress disorders. And by the way, when you elevate cortisol, guess what elevates? Your glucose and insulin. So, you know, there's a relationship there. When you get stressed out, why is my glucose going up? Why am I having trouble getting my glucose down? I'm eating perfect. Well, where's your cortisol and your stress levels? So talk a little bit about that relationship.
Yeah. And that's powerful to know. Now I come also from a place, you know, I'm an OBGYN, so stress is, you know, I lived a life of stress, but then I experienced post-traumatic stress. And so the trauma that we experienced, you know, really put me into a hormonal shutdown that took a lot of angles to improve. And it takes more than hormones to fix our hormones. And so I'm getting those lifestyle factors in to re...
Go ahead.
Yeah. So getting those lifestyle factors in to reestablish a beautiful circadian rhythm, I mean, that's key to get cortisol back up from being suppressed, right? To get our body communicating again and say, okay, cortisol is not an enemy anymore. You know, it's a friend and we need to just work with it. So getting our hormones to work with us instead of against us. Mm-hmm. Cortisol is one of those life-saving hormones. Yeah. And so we need it. it's not all bad. It's really essentially good. But when it's on too long, or and then it gets suppressed from our brain saying, okay, you're frying me out, totally frying me. Let's suppress you. At least that's my interpretation of what's happening. Mm-hmm. We suppress cortisol and we get into this very dangerous state of cortisol being low and oxytocin being low. Because when the paraventricular nucleus suppresses suppresses cortisol, I believe it's also suppressing oxytocin.
So now explain oxytocin a little bit. I mean, it's called the love hormone, right? So obviously it makes us feel a certain way, but explain what oxytocin is before you get too far down with oxytocin.
Yeah. Oxytocin is a hormone that we thought was only secreted in our brain, but it's actually secreted in our heart. Mm. It's secreted from our uterus, our ovaries. It's secreted in different areas of our body, which is really beautiful. And if anyone's ever experienced a heartache, I mean, there are oxytocin receptors in our heart. Wow. And that is something definitely I physically experienced. And I had no idea at that point that there were oxytocin receptors in our heart or that our heart produced oxytocin. So that was eye-opening for me as I dug into the research and trying to understand what happened to me, what's happening to other people just like me, right? Mm-hmm. And so oxytocin is our love and bonding hormone. It's the hormone of connection. Many women experience it when they hold their baby in their arms. Women and men, when they hold their baby, their newborn in their arms the first time. You get that connection, that imprinting that defies all explanation. And also in labor, sometimes we give oxytocin intravenously. It's called Pitocin. And we give it IV to help contract, to help improve those contractions. So that's again, a very safe and lower doses hormone to give intravenously for that reason. Every time we breastfeed, we secrete oxytocin. Every time we orgasm with intimacy, touching, kissing, hugging, play, laughter, generosity, having fun, all of those experiencing pleasure increase oxytocin. So oxytocin is actually the love and peace and joy hormone that I call, and I talk about this for chapters in my book, the crowning hormone. This is the overarching hormone. And it influences our other hormones as well, but it's really the hormone that we want to enjoy for the rest of our life. The satisfaction of a life well lived. And also, like what I've been able to experience despite the trauma and subsequent traumas that I've experienced is that peace that surpasses all understanding, to be able to have joy again and to be able to repair relationships and have connections, which I'm blessed to say that I have the best relationships with my daughters that I ever had in my entire life. And the list goes on. You know, being able to reestablish this great hormonal physiology, you're able to achieve the goals that you want to achieve in your life.
So I think it's pretty obvious what we have to do for insulin, right? I think it becomes a little less obvious what we have to do for oxytocin. I mean, people are going, yeah, okay, I have these hurts in my life, in my love life. I have in relationships, disappointments, post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, all of these things obviously literally deplete and affect your oxytocin, which then affects cortisol, and that affects insulin, right? So all of these are working together. Okay, so what are some crutches here? I mean, you know, in other words, you know, what do we do about this? I mean, I'm trying to heal my relationships. I'm trying to work on these things. But in the meantime, my oxytocin's trumping me and I can't fix these other hormones. What do we do?
Yeah. So, and I go through that too in my book, The Hormone Fix. And there's a few good things that we need to do. And I want quick fixes. So in the meantime, like part of my practice was a patient would come in and say with these same symptoms, one thing that I would start them on is detox, right? Because we've got to open up those hormone receptors so that they can use what your body is producing naturally. So detoxification, alkalinization, really clean up our diet, open up those receptors. While I'm waiting for the blood work to get back, I'll be doing that. I may also add a bioidentical progesterone and pregnenolone, depending on their age, what's happening with their cycle, or if they're postmenopausal. Progesterone helps us get a good night's sleep, helps us rest and restore and repair overnight. So I'm a fan of bioidentical progesterone. So that's a big part of it. A good night's sleep goes ages into healing, as well as balancing cortisol, getting that, you know, resetting that circadian rhythm. So I'll be doing that as well as increasing nutrients. So another crutch, like I created natural solutions where none existed for me or for my patients. So my Mighty Maca Plus formula that has over 30 superfoods and is loaded with adaptogenic, natural adaptogens, maca, organic maca from Peru, turmeric, quercetin, resveratrol, lots of greens, fiber, enzymes that work on the cytokine pathways that work to reduce, that work to help your body fight inflammation or support your body's natural inflammatory response and support your body in detoxifying and hormone production. We give it the nutrients, the substrate it needs, right? So that's key. And then in my keto green way, the principles that, you know, gently moving into longer intervals of intermittent fasting, gently working on the principles that make a difference in resetting our cortisol. So mindset, you know, it's starting with positive thinking, positive verbiage. Yeah, I give clients a cheer word because it takes more than, it's not just about the food we need to nourish our body. We have to feed our mind, our spirit, and our relationships to really be well.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, I love the, it's back there on, behind you on your right, the Mighty Maca product, Revelation Health, there'll be a link for it. They started carrying it. I think it's a fantastic product. I've been a fan of maca for a long time, for men and women, by the way. I think it's one of the really safe, everything you have in that product are the really the safe hormone, support adaptogens. I think it's a fantastic product. And you and I feel the same too. There's a time for hormones as crutches, but it's hard. If you're not doing all these other things you're talking about and you think you're just going to take these hormones and win the game and progesterone is going to work for you, think again. It's just simply not. And without looking, oftentimes it can be transferring into more toxic forms of hormones. So you have to obviously be careful, especially if you don't make those lifestyle changes and detox, et cetera. So talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah. And I talk a lot about the endocrine disruptors, the toxins, and also healthy estrogen detoxification, which is so important. What comes in must go out, and we need it to go out safely, right? Very simply. So, and that's a big part of it. We know that, you know, if we're constipated, if we're not having regular bowel movements, if our microbiome in our gut's not healthy, we're likely to have more toxic forms of estrogen.
Yes.
Circulating back into our bloodstream. And that's a really big problem.
Uh-huh.
And if anyone's listening and they've struggled with constipation for years, even decades, I've had clients struggle for decades, we can turn that around. And it's amazing how good you start feeling very, very quickly. So, and that's a big one for women. And sadly, it's not just about that for women, you know, from the sexual health standpoint, as a sexual health expert, you know, we get prolapse, we get discomfort in, with intercourse from issues that stem from constipation, from relaxation of the pelvic floor as well, or breaks in the fascia from straining. So that's a whole nother topic.
Well, actually, I kind of want to discuss some of those symptoms here because, okay, here we are, you know, women in perimenopause, right? We have an increase, talk about the increase in back pain and pelvic pain. They're going to every chiropractor. They're taking all this. But meanwhile, that's an estrogen thing. I mean, you know, estrogen can basically affect this ligament laxity that occurs. So I want you to talk about that. And then it also can affect the bladder. So talk about that because I just had probably 3 emails on that.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, going back to the whole concept of, the reason I'm a proponent of getting into ketosis, at least cyclically, is because our brain uses ketones for fuel more efficiently in the perimenopause and postmenopause because of declining estrogen. Mm-hmm. Making glucose, utilizing glucose for fuel in the brain is an estrogen-dependent process. So as those levels decline, women experience this brain fog. We think that's it. Down the road, we're going to have dementia. Not if we switch our fuel source. So go from gasoline to jet fuel. And that's going from glucose to
hack around the estrogen.
Exactly. Certainly we'll supplement sometimes with estrogen, progesterone, DHEA. Absolutely. Big fans of that. A little bit goes a long way, but also recognize that this is what's happening. Let's address the cause of it. And the same with the pelvic floor. Not only are there estrogen receptors in the fascia, but there are progesterone receptors in the fascia. why women start to experience aches, pains, incontinence, pelvic relaxation, thinning of the tissues, loss of musculature. Estrogen, progesterone, testosterone all have a role in that as they decline. So this is where we can support with some bioidentical hormone use. And again, you know, that can just that little bit with pelvic floor exercises. Let me tell you that we need to do those Kegels or pelvic floor exercises until we die. We got to keep doing those. Can really help.
I feel really bad that you have to do that. right now, everyone wants to like kill me because I'm like being facetious, but I really mean it. I mean, that's a lot of work, I honestly. So maybe
men have to do it too. Yeah, men should do their Kegels.
Well, you're right.
Too.
Prostate issues is another subject, right? We won't even go there. I think a really good place to start is your Mahi Maca, honestly. I mean, start there. I mean, literally, 50% of the women, you know, that might be your answer.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That will help. And the other product I created to help is Jolva. I have it here too. It's a natural anti-aging formula for the vulva, and Jolva, I created it because I wanted a topical anti-aging solution for women that was natural, paraben free, like a cosmetic, but natural, paraben free. And it contains DHEA, which I know you'll love topically, for use it from the clitoris to the anus, keep all that tissue healthy. But it helps with, also has plant stem cells from the alpine rose, and it helps with the vaginal dryness symptoms. It helps with the accidental leak when we cough or sneeze. It helps with just nourishing that tissue. And women, it really does change lives because women suffer. I always tell clients, if you have pain every time you do something, like for example, having pain with sex or discharge or odor or urinary infection after intercourse, why would you want to, right? Why would you want to? That's definitely going to kill your libido. Mm-hmm. But if we can increase the pleasure, increase the sensation and sensitivity, and improve that, certainly decrease discomfort, why wouldn't we want to?
So that's something you can use daily, and it's, you just rub it in basically. And it's helping
exactly.
All the problems we were just talking about. And very safe that way as well. You're bypassing the liver, much better way of delivering it. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it smells good, tastes good. It's a good product.
And I believe we're carrying that yet. And I haven't tried that one with people yet. I can't wait to. So, that's, again, we're talking about a big area here of covering a lot of women, and these are really safe crutches here. And that's the exciting part. So yeah, I mean, this is an area, I think, when we look at some of these symptoms that, you know, people are going to their doctors and they end up on a lot of dangerous hormones, let's face it. And they're not doing like a 24-hour urine test to see if they're producing toxic forms of estrogen, like, you know, 4-hydroxyestrogen that leads to breast cancer and other cancers, or toxic forms of testosterone. They can even feel better. I always say sometimes you'll feel better actually developing cancer and not know it. But some of these things that you're talking about there are much safer, no doubt about it. But, you know, obviously testing is something that I would still recommend if you're taking a hormone.
Yeah, I agree. And testing gives us an idea. Again, what's that interaction between our physiology and our genetics and our environment? Yeah. Those three key points, and looking at that. And I like, you know, I've done serum testing, urinary testing, salivary testing. I mean, name it, I've done it. And, and I say, if you've come into my practice, we will test every body fluid you have at some point or another.
Let me ask you something. So are most of the symptoms that you see in perimenopause, are they related to low progesterone, low estrogen, or at least tell us the ones that are related to high estrogen levels, which sometimes happens, and why?
Yeah. Yeah. So typically what I see initially are the symptoms from declining progesterone, probably DHEA too, but we never pinpoint it. Okay. And the reason I say that now is we just did a survey on 2000 women aged 30 to 60. And 71% of women who had difficult time with menopause, had menopausal symptoms and postmenopause, said their symptoms began at age 36. Hmm. 36. And that's when we're classified as advanced maternal age in the gynecologic diagnostic book, right? I hate that terminology. But that's when our ovarian function is notably declined on average. And that's when progesterone takes its steepest drop. And so I believe it's that quick drop in progesterone that causes the initial symptoms, the PMS, you know, the symptom of, you know, hating your husband only 2 weeks out of the month, right? When that happens, I always say it's your hormones, not your husband.
Yeah. I'm glad you're protecting these men right now. That's good.
There's probably some component to blame, but if it's only 2 weeks, right? And you know, that irritability, that PMS, those mood swings. And women, we don't like to feel that way. We don't like to feel like, look, I don't want to act that way. I don't want to be nasty. I don't want to, you know, act witchy or bitchy, whatever it is. You know, I don't want to be that person. But it's the physiology that's like our body is crying for help. And we have to hit those areas through balancing the hormones. Definitely all the lifestyle factors. We've got to create that internal peace, that milieu of internal peace, despite what's happening, despite what's going on in our life. And it can be done, I guarantee you, no matter what you're dealing with. And so I want to emphasize that, but certainly it's that drop in progesterone and then DHEA. So we have to restore the adrenals. We have to prioritize what's important to us. And I'll share with you, and I just published this in my blog this week, but kind of like wanted to tease out what made me go from that point and like totally transform to this, you know, better stage and quality of life that I have. And I would say I paused, I had to take a break, had to stop the hamster wheel from turning, so to speak, right? Stop from running around the world, stop from running. I just had to be still, right? And listen to that still small voice within me. So I had to pause and pray. And then prioritize what's the most important thing for me and what am I so glad I did yesterday, right? To get that perspective of what matters to me most in life. And then pour into myself for healing, to nourish my body, mind, spirit, soul, relationships, and pour out into others in that area. So the last thing we do is to pour out into others because we can't give from an empty cup. I want to say that again to the women listening. We cannot give from an empty cup. We have to fill our tank. And with doing that, these steps and on a regular basis, that reestablishes a great energetic magnetism about us and about our mission towards our family, towards the things that we love most to do. And that just feeds us back, continues to encircle back to us to feed our souls. So that's been my practice.
Yeah. Wow. That's a great message, you know, and it's a true one too, because, you know, you just don't realize the connection. But if you think about it now back from those three hormones that you talked about, obviously you said that the oxytocin being at the top, well, there you have it, right? I mean, it's directly or, indirectly affecting oxytocin, all of those things, you know, which again is a big, big factor. Can you, you had mentioned oxytocin is a very, you know, safe hormone. Where would you get oxytocin? And I mean, you know, rarely do you find someone taking oxytocin.
Yeah, it's very rare. And there's a lot of, you know, challenges in prescribing it. Certainly, I did prescribe oxytocin periodically. I'll tell you when I prescribed it, but it's so much more powerful when we create those habits and practices in our life to do it. Sometimes it's just like, okay, let's just manage cortisol. Let's start the day with a green smoothie. Let's intermittent fast. Let's start with a couple steps. So anyone listening, like start with a keto green smoothie. Start with what's the next right step you can make today, right? Start like nourishing your body in these positive ways that will help you gain perspective, number one. Number two is oxytocin, increasing oxytocin, healthy oxytocin behaviors, right? So calling up the friend that makes you laugh, watching a funny movie. I bought my daughter, now we're in the middle of book launch, one of the most stressful times of my life. And at Christmas, I got my daughter a puppy. I know puppies increase oxytocin. So I wanted to bring that in during the stressful time. I should have got a potty trained puppy, however. But, you know, to bring in oxytocin, pets do that to us as well. And so think of things like that. But as a prescriber, when I saw clients that were disconnecting, that had been through trauma, were under significant stress or daily stress, and especially physicians, teachers, principals, before they come home, like as they leave work, a sublingual oxytocin can be beneficial, can just help reset. Now, it's a crutch. It's temporary. It's a crutch. Right. And the problem is it's hard to test for oxytocin deficiency.
It is, yeah.
And so that those are the challenges. We have an oxytocin quiz that I have clients take, and if I was going to prescribe it, I would give an injection, intramuscular oxytocin, and watch the reaction, monitor the response, and then say, okay, definitely oxytocin will help you. Let me prescribe it. At least I could document that from a safety perspective. And even, 10 to maximum 50 IUs a day, daily sublingual or even intravaginal oxytocin can help. So that's what I experimented with my clients with really, really good success too. And again, it's temporary. I typically had clients maybe 3-4 months max, that needed it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a crutch just like anything else. I mean, God didn't create us needing to take progesterone or anything else. However, the lifestyles today really puts a strain on these pathways from physical stress, emotional stress, chemical stress, I mean, all of it. It really is straining women today, and one of the things that I found is too, is women really support the home in every aspect. Health is what, they support it. When their health declines, it's like affecting the household, from the top down. So this is a big subject, and when do most of these symptoms start? You said 36 is when, oftentimes some of the things happen, but is that when the typical perimenopausal symptoms happen, or is it more in the mid 40s?
It's typically, and from what, I studied as an obstetrician and gynecologist as a resident, and studied that it was in our 40s. In our mid to late 40s, yeah. We expect to see the perimenopause. However, I do see it in our 30s. And
I think you start seeing the brain fog, the lack of just that feeling you, as they, I hear it described as don't feel like myself type thing. And then by the mid 40s is typically then when it's diagnosed, okay, now I know I have a hormone problem type of thing.
Yeah. Or the hot flashes start. Typically mid to late 40s, early 50s, we really see the issues with the hot flashes. And that can be certainly very lifestyle limiting.
Yeah. So, and again, some of the quick tips and tricks that you have for the hot flashes, give us that. How about the sleep? Give us some of those. And they may get, they're probably going to go back to what you already taught us, but I just want people to hear specifically, you gave us some tips for the pelvic pain that we, oftentimes see, the bladder stuff, the intercourse, the sex stuff. But, what about some of the sleep issues and that?
Yeah, and that's so important. So for hot flashes, because they are the bane of our existence. Yeah. So one thing, certainly some bioidentical progesterone in the evening, that's twofold. It helps with the brain. It's neuroprotective. It helps the brain, helps with a good night's sleep. And it can help with some hot flashes. Mm-hmm. And so that's mm-hmm. one. And this second is becoming more insulin sensitive. So hence the keto green approach again, because insulin resistant associated with worse and more frequent and longer duration of hot flashes. Mm-hmm. So becoming insulin sensitive, that was eye-opening to me when I saw the research around that. I'm like, huh, I never learned that. How cool. And that makes a difference. We've seen hot flashes completely diminish or go away within 2 weeks, 2 weeks. And so, especially if they've been dealing with it for years, that's liberating. And that means the night sweats are gone too,
yeah.
Which keep us up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
One thing I teach in my book is that a good night starts with a good morning, right? So like how we start our day can really change the way we end it. Mm. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's huge. All right, let's finish with the most sensitive topic of all. And that's the sex topic, right? I mean, men today lean towards Viagra, right? They get past their dysfunction. I don't agree with it, but that's what men do. What do women do? And you know, obviously from a healthy standpoint, what can women do? And I know it's going back to some of these things we already talked about, but I want to be very specific because again, this is the unspoken topic.
Yes. Women typically, what they currently do is bear with it, power through it, silently avoid it. That's what they typically do, but that's not what they have to do.
Right.
So that's one of the reasons that I created Jolva, to just help with any discomfort that we're experiencing from declining hormones that create that vaginal thinning, the loss of lubrication, those symptoms. And also, you know, again, the second thing, pelvic floor exercises. But I teach, and I have a program online called Help Doctor, My Sex Drive Has No Pulse, a free webinar. And I love it, because I teach women that it's normal for us to have a secondary desire. So in other words, men like, okay, I'm interested, let's go, right? 0 to 90, here we go. Women, or I'll take the Viagra, honey, I'm ready. Okay, well, first of all, guys, foreplay starts at breakfast. Bring me some coffee, right? Bring me coffee to bed, the nice little things, the, you know, some sexy text. And for women too, we got to get in the mindset. So we just need to be receptive and understand that once, and this is what my patients would say, once we get started, then I get into it and I'm interested. But they would say, I would never want to get started. So hormone balance, like with maca, with detoxing, keeping those hormone receptors open, maybe we need a little bioidentical hormone, but even without, just knowing that once we start petting, touching, caressing, we get the oxytocin flowing and then we're receptive.
Got it. Okay. Well, that's to help with the men were listening to that part. And women, you play that little part right there for your men, right there. They have responsibility. They have responsibility here for sure. And that is so true, right? And then you get the oxytocin going, you know, with the touching and the kissing, and women, you know, of course, then respond to that. You know, it's like men are more visual, right? I mean, it's like, you know, I see and it's like that gets me going, but you know, that's not women. You know, women need more of the touching and the caressing. And like you said, that, you know, the compliments, the emotional part of that. My wife has to remind me every once in a while that sex starts in the kitchen. We don't actually mean the kitchen, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, maybe tonight could be your lucky night, right?
Maybe I better start complimenting her somewhere in the kitchen. I don't know. Anyways, I haven't quite figured that out yet, as you can tell. But it's a really delicate subject, but I think that the oxytocin plays such an important role that, you know, you either better buy a puppy or you better let your husband watch this. You know, but how many women are doing pelvic exercises? You know, I mean, very few, but you know, it's an important thing because again, all the pelvic muscles there, they have all the estrogen receptors. And if you're already low in most of your estrogen and progesterone, that's going to get lax. And then you're going to have pelvic pain, low back pain, and nothing's going to work. You know, and then the bladder gets involved. And then, you know, I mean, it keeps going on and on. I mean, all those tissues are getting involved. And then you don't have sex drive. And then that affects your marriage. And then that makes your oxytocin worse. You see where I'm going with this, right? I mean, this is the crazy cycle, right? So, you know, and then again, then it's the opposite, meaning that if you're able to get the relationship right, sex is going to improve your oxytocin massively. It's going to improve your hormone sensitivity. It's going to improve all your hormones because we need it as humans. You know, so you see it's either winding the correct way or the wrong way.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, as I just said it, I'm like, wow, that's a crazy cycle that, you know, again, as we just speak that, how many people are in the crazy cycle? The very thing that unwinds is the very thing that you need done to fix it, right? I'm just doing less of this, less of this, less of this. And we need more of this, more of this, more of this to go in the other direction. So this is a complicated thing, but you have to be intentional. You need a plan. Would you agree with that? I mean, you know, so, I mean, obviously that's what your book does too. It kind of gives you a plan. Otherwise this is a battle you're not going to win.
Right. No. Yeah. And I've been there. I've been through it, and I'm happy to say that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and every step along the way too. And exactly what you said, we have to prioritize, we have to do the practices whether we want to or not, that are going to improve our physiology, because that affects our behavior. So we've got to do the behaviors to improve our physiology.
And here's the thing, none of these things, unless you literally have a plan and you're intentional, that was your point earlier, right? When you kind of have to feed into yourself, you know, and part of all of that. But I mean, all of these things, ladies, you better rewind this, watch it again, send it to your friends, because if you don't have a plan, you're going to lose the war, and then your relationship chips effect, and then it's going to feed back in. So, and therein lies the crazy cycle. But there's an answer. I mean, the answer is these things that, you know, that are so obvious yet so hard to do unless you're intentional about it. Well, Dr. Anna, we thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for your book. Thank you for the products that I think are going to be a big help. I'm glad Revelation Health is carrying them. Look for the products here. We'll put them right in the show notes. And the link, and I'm sure that they're going to offer some sort of discount if you use the link. I'm sure they always do that as we, you know, carry a new product like this. It's a very, very
we have a free trial. Yeah, we have the free trial of Mighty Maca. So 4 sample sticks of Mighty Maca and we have the free trial for Jolva 7-night supply. So we have that for your audience too.
Yeah, no, it's a great product, and you know, I don't carry hormone products, you know, because I want people to change their life, but these are great. So awesome. Dr. Anna, you're just a great wealth of knowledge and a topic that was so overdue here. So we are so glad you're bringing sanity to the crazy cycle, as we just pointed out.
I love that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that's it for this week. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Practitioners, don't forget to check out our HCF seminar in Nashville, where we'll have a lineup of top health experts who will explore the latest research and most effective strategies in the field of cellular healing. Please go to hcfevents.com for more information and use the code CHTV to take $150 off your weekend pass. And to the rest of our CHTV audience, please check out events.drpompa.com if you'd like to purchase a 1-day ticket for our special day of public attendance. We hope to see you there. We'll be back next week and every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern. We truly appreciate your support. You can always find us at cellularhealing.tv, and please remember to spread the love by liking, subscribing, giving an iTunes review, or sharing the show with anyone who may benefit from the information heard here. And as always, thanks for listening.